Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Driveway Liberty Podcast, recorded live in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida. I am your Uncle Wes, and I am sitting here with my good friends Travis and Dave, and I am
Dave.
Dan, sorry.
Chef Dan.
Chef Dan. And Dan, too. I'm worried about this bobo-ass fucking mic I got rigged up over here, man. I'm mad I left my mic back at the rehearsal space, and I'm sitting here talking into a little cheap-ass lavalier wireless thing that's meant for, like, recording, like, news or for a pastor to use when he's laying down, you know, shucking the corn from the pulpit. But, no, I'm sitting here talking into this thing, man. Sure, I started to record, and I got to speak directly into it. I can't look at y'all like I normally do. I'm just so. I know, anyway,
you got back pains because you lean like just a little bit forward.
Right. Yeah. I'll be hurting here in about 30 minutes. But anyway, guys, it's Thanksgiving Eve. Thought it'd be kind of cool to talk about. We are always bitching and complaining about something on here. Let's talk about something we're thankful for. Threw a little curveball at you boys, didn't I?
I'm totally unprepared.
Yeah,
I am.
Everything I got is shit.
I'm thankful for the people that go to patreon.com/drivewayliberty podcast. Throw us a few little bucks there. Yeah, that's what I'm thankful for. No,
I'm thankful for we got, you know, I told you last week that my sister-in-law, maybe it was a couple weeks ago, my sister-in-law is a huge fan.
Yeah.
She's the, and we mentioned Hooters on the last cast.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about a restaurant. Okay. Yeah.
So she sent me gifts for you guys. Coupon for 50 wings. She said you guys talked about Hooters on the podcast, so you guys get some love.
Hold on, is this
not a full-on sponsorship, but it's a
hey, is this chick gonna serve me the wings?
No, not in Destin. No. Not in Destin.
Oh well, you know,
you gotta go to Clearwater for that.
Okay. All right.
Well,
actually, I'll be in Tampa sometime in the spring.
Do we have to eat all 50 in one city?
I don't know,
because I'm on this diet, so you know. I
don't know.
I do like that it says E Pluribus Hootum.
Ha! Nice.
In wings we trust.
50 free wings.
All right. That's freaking good shit there.
Hey, what we do, here's what we do. We go together.
At each time.
At each time. Three different times.
Well, it expires December 31st of this year, so we got
to. We got a lot of wings to
coordinate.
There's a lot of wings to eat. Well, thank her very much for us. What's her name again?
Thanks, Jane.
Jane, thanks so much for listening, and thanks so much for the 50 wings.
There you go.
That's pretty cool. I will murder some wings. Yep. Man, since I've been on this diet, I've been eating a lot of chicken, but I crave wings more than I have in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
That's
the only way to really do plain chicken with any kind of real flavor to it. Like, you can season and you can do all that, but like, you can put hot, you put barbecue hot. You can do all kinds of stuff with chicken wings.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, buddy.
You can do a dry rub.
Let's see.
You can do a
different
sauce.
Oh, I'll tell you what I'm thankful for. We're going to see my grandmother who's 83, 4, 2, somewhere. For the first time in close to 2 years.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
So she called me a few weeks ago and was like, screw it. I don't care what happens. We're getting together for Thanksgiving. She's had her booster and all that good stuff.
Like, right.
All right. It's up to you, Grandma.
So we got the whole gang in town.
And I told her our family vaccination status. She's like, I don't care. We'll figure it out.
Good for her.
Just come on and see us.
Yeah. Well, she's vaccinated. She got nothing to worry about.
And she was asking me about my job. She's like, well, are they going to require you? And it's like, I don't know, Grandma. She's like, well, that's crap. They shouldn't be forcing anybody. I was like, that's what's up, Grandma.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right.
Preach, Granny. Preach
that
it.
It. So.
So y'all going to be going all weekend, or you just
just going up tomorrow up to Op, Alabama.
Okay.
You know, they were going to name it Opportunity, but they couldn't spell it. So. But nice. We'll be back. So I don't know what you guys got planned. We'll be back 4 or 5. I think our buddy Chef Dave will be off. And
okay.
So.
Well, we're going to have a little quaint because of the diet thing. We've been invited to a couple of different places with friends, but I'm going to get up in the morning, smoke a turkey. Thanks, Dan, for picking that up for me.
You got it, brother.
And April's going to do a small batch of dressing. It's not stuffing in the South. It's dressing. Unless you actually stuff it in the bird's ass, then it's a stuffing. But we don't normally do that in the South.
But even if you do stuff it, it's moist.
Right.
Unlike when people tell me, like, oh, here's stuffing. Like, Did you put any moisture in this, or no. You just chop up some bread and season it?
Yeah, that's basically what it is, like croutons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you just baked croutons a little bit longer.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't work out. But we'll do that, just doing a green bean casserole. And then, you know, Friday, the reason we didn't go to see any family is because Friday we're playing at the Horsepower Pavilion. And Dan seems to think ref and football is more important than that.
But well, you know what?
I am going to split a little bit early to go watch Southwalk game. I'm going to come, I'm going to head up. Because I'm not going to drink too much because I don't trust the county up there anyway. So I'll give them my two beers, and I'll head back. Southwalk's playing Bowls, which is where Mac Jones went.
That's where I'll be.
Are you reffing that game?
No, I can't officiate because my son goes to school there, so I'll be on the chain crew.
Okay.
I'm getting paid to do chains. The South Walton requested an official chain crew, so I'm getting paid to do chains. So
nice.
Fine with me.
Nice, man. That's cool. Cool.
That'll be good.
Well, KJ's been busting my balls all week.
You told him you were doing that?
Yeah, he's like, you got to get your crew, man. You got to get your crew. We need you. I'm like, dude, you just play football.
All right, so yeah. I attended the South Walton Baldwin game this past Friday.
Right.
I don't know how many unsportsmanlike conducts and personal fouls there were in that game. But there was a lot of them. And the refs did a terrible job of controlling the game and, you know, all that. However, you know, I was texting KJ Saturday, and I was like, bro, did y'all – like, I'd peel paint off the wall if it got to me personal fouls. Like, well, they were dirty and they were running their mouth. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm sure Bowles is going to have a whole bunch of choir boys that show up.
Yeah.
And they're never going to say anything. And you get those 85 unsportsmanlike against Bowles, and you're going to lose by probably 140.
Right.
You know, it's funny because I had Mosley and Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Lincoln's out of Tallahassee. And they were very well behaved.
Well, they shouldn't be acting like – I mean, this is South Walton, for Christ's sake. They shouldn't be acting all thuggy, man. You know? You got.
I would say most of it was retaliatory, but at some point you got to get your crap under control.
Right. When you retaliate like that, it ends up hurting you more than it does the other
Correct.
Team.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I remember playing in high school, playing basketball a little bit I did, and the coach would say, you go out there and start a fight with this guy.
That was your
and
job.
That was my job because I was a terrible basketball player.
I had a basketball coach tell me the best quality I ever possessed in basketball was they gave me 5 fouls a game. Every game. So.
But yeah, I mean, that was my job. I'd go out there with a star player. If he was killing it that night, I'd go in and I'd talk trash to him and I would start a fight with him. That's what was up.
Yep.
So,
okay, hold on. I got some audio.
All right.
It's great. I'm telling you. It's a good way to get Thanksgiving week started.
Let's hear it.
It's hilarious. You ready?
Yep.
A lot of innovation. Because of the actions we've taken, things have begun to change. End of quote. In the past 3 weeks.
Ron Burt, that was our president who read the teleprompter where it says end of quote. Listen again. He says, he's reading the teleprompter. It says end of quote.
A lot of innovation. Because of the actions we've taken, things to change. End of quote. In the past 3 weeks.
I didn't hear it the first time. I thought it was just his usual making up stupid mumbling words.
No. End of quote.
End of quote, yeah. That was end of quote. Ron Burgundy.
Good Lord.
Good
Ron
gosh.
Burgundy. Oh, here's some other funny audio. But
prices have gone up. And
it's our VP talking about inflation.
Families and individuals are dealing with the realities that bread costs more, that gas costs more.
The realities of your administration.
Yeah.
Like, how bad has it gotten that they can no longer even, like, you know what? Inflation is a good thing. Like, she's dumbfounded. She doesn't know what to say there. It's like, bye-bye.
Not much she can say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
So. What you got, Dan?
Yeah. Pow. Wait. Before we go to Dan, let's tell people where they can find us. Obviously, we mentioned Patreon earlier.
Yep, Facebook.
Facebook.
The Driveway Liberty Podcast. Right. Twitter.com/@driveway. I don't know if it's – I don't know.
It's at Driveway.
It's at Driveway Liberty.
Driveway yep. Liberty.
Mm-hmm. Google, Spotify, Amazon, Audible, Apple, iTunes.
Hey, and so, a new feature on Facebook. You can go directly to Facebook and listen to the podcast right there.
Yeah, the one you linked today.
It's been two weeks like that.
Started to play.
Yep.
All right, sweet.
So the bonus cast came out today.
It did.
Yep. You can catch me at Twitter at Travis Horn Talks.
Yep. Me at Wes Herndon.
At Wes Herndon.
Or Fat like Florida JC1.
And then Dan is at.
No. I got a new one.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
This one is meant to not get kicked off. This is just meant to share information. Although I've gone off the rails a couple times already.
Yeah, we were riding by home the other night from from seeing the Van Halen tribute. He's like, "Oh fuck!" I was like, "What's up?" He said, "I wasn't going to make any smart ass comments from this page, but I just did."
So it's at Dan_Matachero.
Okay.
If you want to know how to spell
it. Hopefully it autofills after you go Mata, M-A-T-A.
Yeah, I hope so. All right, because I can't follow it.
Fine. Oh, no, there's a way to remember. You ready?
Yeah.
M-A-T-A-C-C-H-I-E-R-O.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
It's the Mickey Mouse theme. Or the new Mickey Mouse theme. M-A-T-A-C-C-H-I-E-R-O.
Okay.
Mickey Mouse. You got your grandbabies in town this year.
Well, no, they're not here, but that's how everybody learned how to spell the last name.
That's funny.
My wife's maiden name went from Slogging Hoop to Horn, and the first thing I told her was, "You're welcome." I saved you like 3 hours a year writing your name.
Right?
That's right.
Exactly.
And what's funny is when we all go out with her family, they put Horn as the name on, like, we're waiting at a restaurant. Like, it'll be like, Horn Party of 14. And I'm the only Horn besides my wife and my
right.
So
that's funny. That's awesome. What I don't understand, all right, phonetically speaking, my last name, Herndon, should be pretty easy to spell. Mm-hmm. Nobody can spell it or say it if they see it on paper. I get called Hernandez, Herndon, Herndon, Hendon. I don't understand it, man. I don't get it. I mean, it's – and I'm like, dude, use phonics. Use your phonics, sir. It's Herndon, H-E-R-N-D-O-N.
Well, I don't know. People, their brains work differently because everybody calls, says, my name's Matachirio. There's no I-O. It's R-O.
Your email literally is cheerio @gmail.com.
That is a result of people calling me Matachirio. Became my nickname.
That's exactly why I called you Matachirio, because of your email.
No, you called me Dave.
Yep.
And Dave. Dave Matachirio.
That's right.
Maybe that should be your new Twitter handle. Dave Matachirio.
Just call me Dave.
Right?
That's my new Twitter handle. Just call me Dave.
Just call me Dave. That's the one where you can argue with people.
There you go.
Dave's not here,
or
man.
Or I can just say, Wes, call me Dave, and that'll be
Yeah, Wes calls me Dave. Travis changed his handle, his name on, and what? I'm trying to figure out, who is this fucker tweeting? And I finally looked at it, and it was like, at Travis Horn Talks. I'm like, oh, that's Travis.
Yeah, it's my profile name before you get to the at is Ed Durst Stan account.
But I kept getting up notices. Like, I'm like, what? Who is this dude? I've never gotten notices from him before.
Gotta love Twitter.
Yeah, buddy.
We gonna start off with Rittenhouse? Where are we going? Where are we going, Dan?
What you got, buddy?
Well, I thought we were gonna start off with Ahmaud Arbery.
Okay, that's a good one. I like that.
So, Georgia jury is convicted.
All three.
In the murder death of Ahmaud Arbery. So, Travis McMichael, he's the one that shot him. In February.
When he ran at him and grabbed his shotgun. Let's mention that.
Yep.
Now, I'm not saying these guys were right. What I'm saying is you don't run up to a redneck with a shotgun and try to grab it.
Yeah. Well, the counter argument, I guess, they presented to that was the guy had no place to go, so the only thing he did was it was fight or flight, and he fought, and him fighting to not get killed, because the defense apparently made the case that he was going to get killed if he didn't. That's why he grabbed the gun.
Okay.
So, and the guy who videotaped it, in Georgia, if you commit a violent crime like that, all parties can be held accountable to murder. So the guy driving the getaway car for a bank robbery.
Yep.
You know, the lookout,
Yep.
All parties involved will be linked to the same
same charges.
Yeah. So that's what happened. So the father was 65. He was found not guilty of malice murder, but was convicted of all the other charges.
Right.
Including the other felony murder counts. And then a neighbor, William Rody Bryan, was found guilty of 3 felony murder counts and a charge of criminal intent to commit a felony. So he's the one that drove the truck and kind of cornered. I think he actually testified or maybe it was a deposition where he actually said I think he misspoke, but he said, I was driving and I tried to cut him off, but I missed him. So I had to turn around. It's like, you missed him? Were you trying to run him over? Yeah. It's not something good to say.
Yeah, that's not...
Your lawyer didn't prep him very well.
That's not good.
Yeah.
That is not good.
Yeah, I don't know what's going through your head when I get it. Like, if you think something, repeated crime. But how do you get to that point mentally to just be like, oh, we're all going to saddle up and ride and we're even going to film it?
Well, in Georgia, they have you're able to perform a citizen's arrest.
Sure.
But there's some stipulations on that. You actually have to, it has to be right as the crime's going on or immediately after to keep the person from pursuing or leaving the scene of the crime.
Right.
Well, they didn't have any proof he actually committed a crime. No. They just saw him coming out of a kind of a
barn or shed type deal.
Well, it
wasn't the house that was under construction.
It was a model home. Mm-hmm. I think that they were doing maybe some finishing work inside, so it was technically under construction. They saw him come out of it.
Right.
And then he started jogging. So I think the jogging through the neighborhood story from the people who were supporting Arbery is bullshit.
Sure.
But, I mean, how many – is it a capital crime to go – walk through a model home?
A model home?
Under
yeah. Well,
so there's
was
there's
it some, open? That's, I mean, you know.
No, but it, yeah, I mean, so it probably was a crime of trespassing.
Sure.
I don't think he had anything on him. There was some talk about he stole some tools or something, I think, early on.
They had him on video, apparently, before same guy stealing some shit. And that's was the justification these guys used.
So they just assume he was stealing stuff there, and maybe he was. I don't know, or maybe he was scoping it out.
I don't think the kid deserved to die.
No,
unless he was a pedophile, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think he deserved to die. And I grew up in Georgia. I know what kind of redneckery can go on.
Yeah,
and you know, he would have been better off just saying, okay, guys, and holding his hands up rather than attempting to fight these guys or take the gun. I mean, not saying I'm not victim blaming here because he's dead and that's not cool. But I don't know what my point is. It's just...
he'd be alive if he didn't try to take the gun.
Well, right.
If you...
Doesn't exonerate them from what they did.
Right.
Still.
If you are in 20, because this happened, what, May, all
February 2020.
February 2020. I mean, anyways, so that's before the whole George Floyd thing. But
yeah,
if you thought 4 white dudes trying to citizens arrest a black dude in the year 2020 was in any way, shape, or form a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was you bad. Might be a redneck.
Yeah.
And absolute. You might be convicted of murder.
Yeah.
Which is
bumbling buffoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's idiotic. I mean, you know, I think one of them was an ex-cop or retired cop, right?
I don't know.
Well, I will say I think justice was served in this case. It's a multiple case of none of them should have been there.
Gregory McMichael. So the father is a father of the guy who shot him is a retired Glynn County police officer.
Okay, yeah.
So he's a retired cop.
And that's the county that Brunswick is in, Glynn County.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I have friends there. I had, when I was a sales officer for Nationwide Insurance, one of my better agents was there. And I can speak from experience from visiting there that the redneckery is strong there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Yeah. Not saying my agent was a redneck, but knowing other people in the area. I mean,
well, yeah, that's. I just told you I'm going to Op, Alabama.
Right.
You can just assume that the redneckery is strong there too.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is definitely. Yeah, I've been through there. I can attest to that as well.
So
yeah.
But you know, I really didn't pay that much attention to this case. I kind of got the facts early on. I was like, well, that was stupid, and you're going to go to jail for a long, long time.
Right.
Well, there was a hot and heavy debate for about a week.
Well, and it because it was this. Around the George Floyd stuff and other things.
Well, it was in the middle of the next round of getting ready to be riots and the racial.
Well, if it was February 2020, then. But I don't think the video got released for a while, right? And that because it didn't come out initially.
Yeah, the video came out. Yeah, the video came out
immediately.
No, it came out months later. I think it was a while after the video came out. I think months so after.
Yep.
I think so too.
Did y'all see the bald eagles that my wife got pictures of in the backyard when we were setting up?
I did see that. It was three bald eagles, and
yeah, and she said that might be a sign. So the Driveway Liberty guys are setting up.
That's right. And they came to support us.
Absolutely.
Right.
A little freedom action.
That's right.
Yeah. So what else you got over there, Daniel?
So, you want to talk about the Christmas parade car accident?
Okay.
That's what Wikipedia, if you look it up on
it's
Wikipedia.
It's a car accident.
It says.
It wasn't somebody driving through 30 people
Waukesha,
in a van.
The Waukesha car accident.
Isn't it Waukesha?
Waukesha. Waukesha.
Okay, can I say something that's bad?
Sure.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for feeling this way.
Sure.
Saying Waukesha is pretty fucking fun.
Yeah.
I hate that this is the reason that it's in the news, but Waukesha.
Waukesha.
Sorry. Before I heard anybody
Waukesha.
Say it. See, that's what I was saying. I was like, is it Waukesha? Waukesha?
No, it's
like,
Waukesha.
I know. Waukesha.
And you want me to tell you how I know that?
How?
All right.
So it said 800 times on the news?
No. I knew it years ago because I would, when I was on the road, I'd listen to talk radio. Mm-hmm. And when there was nothing on talk radio to listen to, like a Sunday when I was going somewhere, I'd actually listen to NPR. Now, I'm not proud of that. But they had a show called Prairie Home Companion where they had some really cool bluegrass music and shit like that and some funny little skits and stuff. It was like an old-timey radio show.
Yeah.
And they were from Wisconsin. And they would talk about Waukesha.
Waukesha?
Yeah.
Waukesha.
And Waukesha. When I was watching the videos on the story because I was trying to – like anybody that wants to see a dumpster fire, I was trying to find video of the guy riding through the crowd, and every news person I came through was saying Waukesha. Hmm. Waukesha is that girl that your buddy went to the prom with. Waukesha is the town in Wisconsin.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Oh, man. You having a tough time?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
So the piece of shit who drove his car through these people, his name is Daryl Brooks Jr. He's from Milwaukee.
Right.
So he's driving a maroon Ford Escape, and the video shows him driving slow and then swerving and actually turning into a group of people. And you know what that group of people was?
Was it the band?
No, it was the grandmothers.
The dancing grannies.
The dancing grannies, yeah. So he ran into
a bunch of grannies.
There's a lot to the story.
Yeah.
So apparently this guy's a insane racist Black Lives Matter supporter who hates white people and wants to kill all the old white people.
Okay. 'Cause, plus they're easy targets, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be cold, but
yep.
You know.
So they keep saying the motive is unknown, but as you dig through his social media history, it's pretty obvious. He just wanted to kill white people.
Yeah.
And enjoyed picking the low-hanging fruit, old people and children.
Yeah, that's...
So it's now 6 deaths. Originally, it was 5.
Right.
And the latest death is an 8-year-old boy who passed away in the hospital yesterday.
Well, this has got to be first degree. They got to charge him with first degree. He planned this.
I guess he was in court either yesterday or today. So it's just the starting process.
I can't remember. Does Wisconsin have the death penalty?
I don't know.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, because if anybody deserves to be fried, you're running over little grannies and kids, man, you know.
So there's some more to the story on the other side. So the crime took place on November 5th. Or he has a freaking rap sheet as long as, like, multiple books of the Bible. I mean, it's freaking long as hell. His latest alleged crime took place on November 5th, where he was charged with resisting an officer, bail jumping, recklessly endangering safety, disorderly conduct, and battery. So he allegedly slammed the mother of his child with his fist, then ran over her. And guess what he ran over in?
A Ford Escape.
A maroon Ford Escape.
So this is murder weapon, man.
So he got released on Friday on $1,000.
$1,000.
Are you shitting me?
$1,000.
So he was out on Friday. 2 days later, he ran through the parade.
Mm-hmm.
So $1,000. So if you're going to bond that, you need to pay 10%. So it's $100.
$100.
Yeah. Jail for $100.
Actually, I don't think Wisconsin's that way. It's the full amount. So it was $1,000. Yeah. Which is why it took a while to get Kyle Rittenhouse out. He had to pay the full $2 million.
So now Milwaukee County's scrambling. Now they're investigating the low bail.
Investigating the low bail.
After it was already done.
So I made a post yesterday. And it's not going to get off track. It's completely on topic.
Good, because I got three slides on this bullshit.
But it is exactly what we've talked about for a long time. That dude just committed mass murder.
Yes.
A mass terrorist act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Milwaukee County elected a George Soros, cash bail is racism and white supremacy district attorney.
John Chisholm.
So let me ask you something. Those six people that died, who is more important to their life, or who was Sunday morning? Joe Biden being the president, or that dude being the Milwaukee County DA?
That dude.
Yep.
Your local DA. John Chisholm. Your local county, whoever, local elected officials are more important than who the president is. And we, all of us, liberty-minded people, have got to get involved and stay involved. That is the price of freedom. The price of freedom isn't a military and those boys going and dying. Right. The price of freedom is free people staying engaged with their representatives all the time.
Absolutely it is.
So in May 2015, we all know who Jeffrey Toobin is, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the stroker.
He was Toobin right there. Toobin, on the stroking. Call.
Who's up back on the air?
Yeah. That's
what so I'd he wrote an article in the New Yorker called "The Milwaukee Experiment." The piece was a long, sycophantic love letter to this guy that Travis just described, John Chisholm, the district attorney of Milwaukee County. Basically, he embraced the criminal justice policy gears toward rectifying the racial, this is a quote, the racial imbalance in American prisons.
So the guy that should be walking around to all of his neighbors and saying, hey, I just want to let you know I'm a registered sex offender, because he whipped his willy out right there on a Zoom call in front of God and everybody and started snatching one off.
Yeah. And he's
I'd be stroking.
He's funny. Massaging this guy, thinking he's
yeah, he's what? Massaging right. Yeah, there you go. It's another one. Yeah,
I like that term usage.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
So Chisholm was a freaking hero to the left with this whole bail reform thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So according to one of Chisholm's admirers, Chisholm stuck his neck out there and started saying that prosecutors should also be judged by their success in reducing mass incarceration and achieving racial equality. Not reducing crime.
Racial inequality.
Reducing the number of people in jail. And more particularly, the number of black people in jail.
See, I'm not necessarily against that statement, but the way they're talking about doing it is fucking stupid.
Yes.
They're talking about turning violent criminals. I'm talking about turning the dude loose that just had a couple of joints.
Yeah.
As long as that's all he did.
Well, if it's a nonviolent offense, I mean, if it doesn't affect anybody else, it shouldn't be illegal.
So here's a quote from him, Chisholm himself. He admitted that he admitted the cost of his policies in 2007. So this was before he got elected, but this was just who he is. He said, is there going to be an individual I divert or put into a treatment program who's going to go out and kill somebody?
Yes.
You bet. Guaranteed. It's guaranteed to happen. And he was right. Look what happened. And look at what's going on in San Francisco.
But that's the point. That's the point of this. The chaos is the point.
Yes.
The chaos is the point. Okay?
That's what they want.
Has communism ever, or any, fascism, anything, ever come to a stable, nice society?
No.
Not and, once ever.
And the accelerant to start this blaze and keep this blaze going right now is racism.
Correct. Right? So that's the here. I'm going to play it's a little bit of a montage, and it's not exactly the one I wanted to play. But let's say you are someone with a long criminal rap sheet and you have digested this for however long. Okay.
15
so,
years.
So I'm just saying like no, it was like 1999 he got started. Oh, 2000. Yeah. Okay, but let's just say you happen to listen to this and you're already a pretty terrible human being clearly. Mm-hmm. What would that do to you?
Glenn Youngkin played the race card for a reason, because he knows it works on certain white voters.
He did stoke white grievance politics to mobilize the Republican base.
He's laundered Trump's really sort of disgusting, flagrant out-racism. Yep. He's wrapped it in education.
Yep. Education, right. Which is code for white parents don't like the idea of teaching right. about race.
That's the fundamental problem for these parents and this anti-CRT movement. They don't like the way whiteness is being portrayed in these
good
new, more
God.
Inclusive yeah. lessons.
This wasn't about those pocketbook issues. This was about how white kids feel talking about what black kids go through.
The subtext of all this was, we can't let these black and brown people run the country.
Glenn Youngkin running on critical race theory that he knew hit a chord around race.
I think all the CRT stuff is trumped up dog whistling.
Some of it was dog whistle racism.
The dog whistle messaging that you saw Youngkin engage in during the course of the campaign.
CRT is in the latest line of school busing, crosstown busing, welfare queens, you have it. It's in that same line, and you saw it in the results in Virginia.
This more palatable Republican who still uses the same racist themes that Trump did. He just packaged them in a soccer dad sweater vest model.
He's found
Good
a way
fight.
To launder
please stop this.
A pretty Jesus racist trope.
With that, we need to take a break.
I need to take a
but
shit.
But hold on. Think about this during the break. Think about this during the break. If you are borderline not right, been in and out of jail for 15 years, and you have bought into the Black Lives Matter and all that, what would hearing that repeatedly?
It would set you off.
Yeah.
That's a
and this dude legal. Was let out of jail the day Kyle Rittenhouse was not guilty, and how many times was white supremacy said on CNN and MSNBC? Just think about it.
I don't even know if you can count that high.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hundreds.
I can't. I'm a moron.
Well.
No, that. No, those people are morons.
Those people definitely are. With that, we're going to take a little break. I'm going to put some pants on because it's getting cold. We'll be right back right after this.
That didn't come out right.
Hey, guys, it's Wes again. Yeah, right. I know you're tired of hearing my voice. But did you know that you, the listener, can help support the Driveway Liberty podcast? How do you do that, you might ask? Well, go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/Driveway Liberty Podcast to learn more. As a matter of fact, for being a supporter, we got some really neat swag that we're giving away. So go check it out. Hey, let's get back to the cast.
All right, guys, welcome back to Driveway Liberty Podcast. It is time for beer reviews.
Beer reviews.
That's right. And
time for drama and intrigue.
If the audio is not as clean as it normally is, it's because I'm using a little Bobo mic that I had to throw together last week.
Well, it would have been better than you, like,
yelling.
Shit, I'd just be sitting over here getting drunk watching y'all do it. Making smart-ass comments.
I'd have to hand you the mic to welcome us, and then it'd just be me and Dan.
Right, yeah. Anyway, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Go ahead, Travis.
All right, so I had Miller Lite, and it was there was a hurricane a couple months ago.
Yeah,
right?
Months ago.
Yeah, I mean, and I had like, anyways, long story. I had this like Yeti style cooler, and I forgot that the beer was in there.
Right.
There was also some bottles of champagne and a whole bottle of whiskey, by the way. What? So that was a big win. was a big win. It's still sealed up. Mm-hmm. So I just took a sip during the break and almost threw up. I got the old Keystone Light bitter beer face. my good friend Dan let me borrow a beer, and I'm drinking Wemac, which I think when you were getting your booty hole scoped and I was trying to help you drink all your beer, I think I drank a few of these.
Yeah. This is my
it's hard to remember which and beers. I've drank plenty of them, so I know Wes has got what you got. Is it the Untappd app or something like that?
Yeah, I use Untappd.
See, I don't take it that seriously, so I'm just like, I think I've had it. I don't know. But Wemac's good. Well, I like the old Wemac.
Since I've been on the diet, I really hadn't used the app very much. Because I'm drinking Miller Lite.
There you go.
So there you go. That's my review. And it's it serves the purpose of being able to have a beer and still stay on a diet and lose weight. So.
And based on the fact that I gave Travis his beer, you can probably guess what I'm drinking.
Yeah, I think it's
Wemac.
Wemac, yeah.
Scottish Ale from Indianapolis.
You know what I haven't seen that I thought I was going to see? I haven't seen the Waffle House beer.
No, man.
The Waffle House beer. They announced that a long time ago.
I'm going to try that. I need it. We need to search that out.
Bacon-flavored Waffle House beer?
You would think we would see that because Waffle House, their corporate headquarters is in Atlanta. We are in the Southeast.
And we have 87 of them within...
Oh my God!
Yeah,
golf ball hitting distance from
us. I mean, you think about
driver pitching wedge from Waffle House.
There is a hurricane measurement called the Waffle House spectrum, and you know how bad the hurricane is going to be on whether the Waffle House decides to close or not.
You know, I get that info before it goes public, right?
I did not know this.
Oh, yeah, little known fact.
But now I do.
So,
we used to play this game called 7-Eleven. Because there was as many 7-Elevens where I used to live as there are Waffle Houses here and and Dollar Generals.
Yeah.
Oh, easy. I don't know that anybody could build anything more than Waffle House and Dollar General in the 20-mile stretch around us.
So sure. In the St. Pete Clearwater area, I think that's like the king of 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
So we on Gulf Boulevard, which is R30A, basically.
Yeah.
Only nowhere near as high-end. But it was a lot longer. It spanned.
It's where all the Scientologists live.
No, they were cool. They were a couple blocks off.
Oh, boo.
But we would go from Treasure Island and start at the 7-Eleven Treasure Island, and you would have to go in. We'd have a designated driver,
right?
And there was however many other participants in the car that you could fit.
Okay.
So depending on, and we did this multiple times. So depending on who was driving. It limited the number of participants. It was usually three plus the driver.
Right.
Right.
So you would have to go in and you'd buy a single can of beer, and you'd have to finish it before you got to the next 7-Eleven.
Right.
Before you were out. And there's a stretch in Madeira Beach where there's two 7-Elevens like a quarter mile away. So that was after you had three or four beers.
Right.
Yeah.
And you had like maybe traffic could give you a break from time to time, but. When we did this in the off season,
like if you catch me between beer 5 and 15, beers 5 through 15 go down just
yeah. But this would have been like beer 3 or 4.
Oh, okay, all right.
So you would have had a kind
of now. Could you pregame at all to kind of give you a little bit of a?
Well, hey, listen, what you do before on your own time is up to you.
Well, you know, it's
I don't know if you want to though, because it's like a case by the time you get done.
Oh, okay.
If you're doing
definitely a 12-pack
craft beer, that would have been an issue for me. But like the other night when we went out in that Van Halen.
Well, no, you could buy whatever beer you wanted.
Oh, okay.
But it had to be alcoholic beer.
So everybody had to get out and buy one beer.
Yeah. So the driver would pull in.
Uh huh.
The participants would go into 7-Eleven, buy their beer.
The driver did or did not participate?
Driver did not participate.
Oh, that's pretty smart. Oh,
that's smart.
So me and my friends would never have been that smart.
Yep. And the other three would get their beer, and once they got in back in the car, they were able to open the beer and drink before you got to the next level.
Now, did you get the benefit if you were the first one back in the car? Could you start drinking then or what?
No, everybody had to be in at the same time.
Okay. You had to wait on everybody to get back in.
Okay.
I got you.
So,
about to say, if you got out in sprint and beat them to, you might get an extra few. Okay.
Right. Yeah, a little funny story about Saturday night. We went out. I said, Dan, I'll tell you what, man, I'll drive because I drank a lot Friday night, as y'all saw. And I said, you know what, man, I'll drive. That way you can drink. And we go out, man, and we go to Austin's and we have two or three there. Then we go to Rupert's, which is the diviest of dive bars down here.
It's in a bowling alley.
Yeah. And the beers are cheap.
Yeah.
Compared, yeah. I mean, they're like $4 for a big one.
And they had one of the ambers.
Yeah.
The Avalanche Amber that they have at the craft bar.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They had it at Rupert's.
Huh. Yep. All right. So I drank two of the big ones in there. So that's five
that's
beers.
Like a quart.
Yeah. It's like a master cylinder.
I drank
cylinder.
The pints.
Yeah. So that's five beers. And then we're sitting in there, and we were all taking turns, like, between me, Dan, and Mark, because Karen, she was drinking liquor drinks.
Yeah.
She's
about 1 foot two.
Yeah, yeah. She weighs 100 pounds with concrete underwear on. So we were taking turns going grabbing beers.
And we literally drank beer the entire time they played.
Yeah, the entire
time. And for the 20 minutes we were watching the old 90s videos on the screen of the old 90s rock.
So I look at the table. And the ratio to Miller Lights to the other beers, I'm like, I thought we were all drinking about the same pace. And I look, and there were at least six or seven Miller Lights there. So that puts me at about 12, 15 beers. And
there was quite a few Yinglings on that.
Yeah, I was like, so much for just drinking a few.
And then, so what did you say? Your tweet, your text to Travis was something like,
we drank all the beers.
Yeah.
Okay, so what really happened Saturday? Like, what I said wasn't wrong, but we were at Austin's, okay?
Right.
And I was feeling okay, but, you know, I was still good to go. Then we went to see the Lee Boys at some kind of event at Idle Hounds.
Right.
Yep.
Which is fine.
But yeah, but Idle Hounds is not a place to go to.
So
divide and conquer, man.
So I go get in line, and I'm looking, and the first two beers I see, which are like five and a half, six. Like, okay, I'm good.
Which
here.
Is a range.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Like, I'm good here. Like, I can cruise the rest of the night through this.
Right.
Order that. Oh, dude. Sorry, man. We're out. Okay, cool. Hit me with this one. Oh, man. Sorry, we're out. And there's like a line behind me. There's a lot of pressure.
Sure.
And I'm just like,
Idle Hounds.
Divide and conquer. Oh, no. So, have the first
eight
one.
Eight and change.
Like, boom, boom, boom. Having a good time. The band was really good. Really, really good.
Right.
And then your wife's like, what are you drinking? It's like, oh, Divide and Conquer. Not even thinking about it. Just listen to the band.
Yeah.
Having a good old time. Then about the third time that happened, I was like, oh, no. This is going to be bad.
And I guess we had these grand plans of going to my driveway with the solo stove.
Right.
And
on the 5% beers, I would have been great with.
Right.
Killing the rest of the night. So that was the text.
You're right.
Yeah.
We're driving back in the neighborhood. Wes is texting Travis. Travis, where you at, man? Travis, where you at, man?
Yeah. No
response. You would text him, too.
Yeah. Like, I legit, like, y'all were texting me, like, 10 o'clock. I was out.
I know, right? I was like, all right, here's what you don't know about what we were had going on. I mean, we'd had a few, and I was like, all right, I called Travis. You didn't answer. So I called Amelia.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't answer.
Because she was asleep, too.
Right. And I knew David and Dina were with you, so I called David. He didn't answer.
Divide and conquer.
I was like, well, fuck. I don't know what they're doing. But, you know.
I messed up by not eating, like, in the fourth quarter of the Alabama game.
Oh, I got you.
That's where I went awry.
It was probably better, all things said and done, that we all just went to bed.
Correct.
That was the responsible thing.
Correct. Because I woke up Sunday at, like, 5:30, and I'm like, why am I up so early? I'm like, oh, yeah, I was asleep by 10 o'clock. That's why.
Right.
I'm not, why are you texting at 5:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Travis wakes up and texts all of us.
Yeah, he's
well,
like,
when
sorry,
I see,
guys.
When I see three missed calls and, like, five text messages,
like,
I'm like,
sorry, guys, divide and conquer hit hard.
Like, if y'all were waiting on me to drive you home, you're in a bad spot now.
Right.
So.
Travis, come pick us up.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, Friday night was hilarious because Wes was – hammer housed,
man.
By the time I got over to our friend's house,
I was the last one to come because of the football game.
I can't tell you how many liquor drinks I had at Craft Bar before I ever got to Allsburger's place. I mean,
see, I went to the South Walton game, and about halfway through the fourth quarter, a guy I know from volleyball comes to talk to me and my buddy, and I'm like, Alan, you been drinking? And he's like, looks at his Yeti, and I'm like, wait, they let you in with that? He was like,
oh, shit.
They didn't say nothing to me. I was like, shut up.
That was the things they had that we used to call them the Yeti moms at baseball.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They'd all have their wine or vodka or whatever it was in their Yetis.
Damn it.
Sitting in their folding chairs behind the freaking backstop.
Brazen
screaming at the umpires.
Little Johnny was safe. Dumbass.
Like, bitch, you can't see past the fence. What are you talking about?
There was one instance.
You're watching three different bases. You're right. You don't know what's going on.
There was one instance where one of the parents called the umpire a devil worshiper. She was so mad.
Okay. Well, I played a lot of baseball, and even I umped and coached, and I don't think I've ever heard anybody
call a devil worshiper.
It wasn't me. I wasn't umpire.
My favorite, my dad used to say this, was after a bad call, he'd be like, slap that dog blue. He lied to you. Like he's blind. He got to see an eye dog.
Right.
Like,
no.
That was a good one.
Oh, Lord. So we want to make fun of the energy secretary?
Yes.
Yes.
That heifer is.
Okay, so we're talking about Jennifer Granholm.
Hold on.
Wait a minute.
Oh. Sorry. It started playing. I didn't mean it to.
So
real high
we're going to play this video of how stupid this person is. So let's start with video one. Go ahead, Travis.
There are various figures about this, so I'm curious if you know, how many barrels of oil does the U.S. consume per day?
I don't have that number in front of me.
So some suggest it's about 18 million, which would suggest you're releasing less than 3 days' worth of supply from the petroleum reserve.
So the energy secretary does not know how many barrels of oil the U.S. uses on a daily basis.
So Biden came out and was bragging about, here's what we're going to do to help alleviate Americans with the price of gas. We're going to release 50 million barrels of oil from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
Oh,
50 million barrels.
How benevolent.
Well, it gets worse.
Can we pause real quick?
Yeah.
Do you know the strategic petroleum oil, whatever it is? You know that's for? Like, so we can fly planes if we get invaded and shit, or we can release a little bit in the case of a natural disaster. Like,
there's some more information on that because a lot of the oil that comes out of the Gulf is what they call sour crude.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be, it's got a lot of high levels of sulfur in it. So it's got to be. It's more expensive to process.
Right.
So of these 50 million barrels, 18 million have already been congressionally approved for sale to guess where?
Somewhere else.
Guess where? What countries?
China.
Yeah, that's one of them. What's the
Russia.
Other one? India.
India.
So of the 50 million, which is 2.5 days worth of oil, for the American people, 18 million of them is already earmarked for China and India.
Wasn't it less than a year ago, gas was like $1.59, we were selling the rest of the world oil,
and Trump was buying up the oil because it was so cheap. He said, we're just going to stockpile and fill the reserves because the barrels were like $20 a barrel.
Yeah,
right.
It was insane.
Like less than a year ago.
Yeah. Less than a year ago.
Less than a year ago.
So that is the first audio. So here's the next one. So you got two more. So these are real quick, but go ahead.
And while our Energy Information Agency, and that's underneath the DOE, it predicts that we are going to turn the corner in 2022. The fact is right now that energy prices at the pump and at home are too high. This administration realizes that people are seeing this every single day as they go to work, as they fill their cars with gas. And we also recognize who's hurt the most from this. Low-income families already spend up to 30% of their monthly income on fuel, on energy. And so any price increase for them in particular causes an undue strain, but it causes a strain on everyone, obviously. So, to be really clear, obviously, the president does not control the price of gasoline. No president does. But what we're seeing right now is this global mismatch between supply and demand. Oil production is lagging behind as the rest of the economy roars back to life.
Well, all right, let me make the first comment on this. All right. When you fuck with the supply, which is what Biden did the first month he was in office.
First day.
Executive order number one.
Yeah.
First day.
And demand does increase. It increases. I mean, it's cyclical, but when you limit the supply, which is exactly what he did,
yes,
by closing down the pipelines, putting a moratorium on oil in Alaska, and there was a third thing he did:
federal lands in general.
Yeah,
no fracking on federal
lands. Yeah. You do have control over oil prices.
Yes.
Now, it's not direct.
No, but your actions influence the price. Oh,
no, it is. No, it's totally direct.
Your actions influence the price.
It's totally direct because Biden released 50 million barrels of oil. What happened to the price of oil that day? Like the futures. It shot up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're like, he's a fucking idiot.
But unlike any other product or commodity on the market, oil is speculative. I mean, the pricing on oil is speculative.
Yeah.
So when news is released that's negative, they're going to raise the prices.
Yes.
Period. That's the way it works.
Yep.
So demand had nothing to do with the raise of pricing. The supply side is where it got fucked up.
Yes. So if you listen to that video,
hold on just a second. You know what she said for a minute there? Hey, we've got really, really terrible polling, and people are really mad about the price of fuel being almost, if not more than double, what it was 1 year ago, and everything costs more, and we've got to start to backtrack. That's all that is.
That's exactly all she's saying. What that
she doesn't give a flying fuck about low-income folks.
No.
But she's saying this is a serious matter.
Because the three of us, like, ain't none of us rich.
Nope.
We're all okay as far as I know. Ain't no big deal if you ain't. I don't care. Like, the Horn household is struggling a little bit on now as things have slowed down a bunch. Like, a little bit tighter than we used to be.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay. But I can put gas in my truck. Right. We ain't missed a meal. Yeah. My freezers are still full. Mm-hmm. However, there's a lot of families, Defuniac, all over the place that are struggling.
Yeah.
That you are legit having to consider whether driving to work is worthwhile.
Well, when you're living paycheck to paycheck, you increase the cost that money covers, and the paycheck doesn't go up. When you increase the cost by 20 to 30%, you're short 20 to 30%.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. All right, so back in June, I paid off my truck. We paid off both of our vehicles in June. And we were happy that we didn't have that car payment. And since June, we are paying more. I mean, obviously we had fuel costs when we had the car payment, but my fuel cost now compared to what it was is more. It's 30% more than my car payment plus fuel costs then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's huge. So there's a third audio track. So the second one we just listened to was she was all serious. Yes, we understand. This affects everyday Americans, and this is a very serious matter. Here's what she said previously.
Helen, in Sturgis, Michigan, it is $2.89 a gallon. I guess that's better than in California. What is the Granholm plan to increase oil production in America?
Oh, my God. That is hilarious. Would that I had the magic wand on this. As you know, of course, oil is
She's
a global...
fucking laughing.
It's the same lady.
She is fucking laughing.
That was she's question. Dying hysterically.
That was like 2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, it was about 2 weeks ago. And do you hear what she's... That's hilarious. This bitch knows...
Oh, yeah. She absolutely
that a year
does.
Ago, we were energy independent.
Yes.
At least... I would hope so as the Secretary of Energy.
Right.
But that was, I think, was that CNBC? Whatever news station that was. You're laughing.
Yeah.
Like, people are struggling.
Yep.
Struggling. And the price of gas, as we've said multiple times, there's really three things that affect the cost of everything. The price of gas, the price of soybeans, the price of corn. Okay? And all three of those are through the freaking roof right now. And this bitch wants to go on TV and laugh? Since we probably have our own FBI agent now, I'm not going to say what I really think about it. But that's the kind of shit. If I was just some normal Trump supporting, Make America Great Again dude, and I was doing a little bit better under Trump, maybe could put $100 a month in savings, and now I'm screwed.
Yeah.
And I see that. That's going to push people to action and not in the way that we want it. And I almost think that's the point.
No, I think it is the point. It's absolutely the point, is to make people more dependent on government.
No, I'm talking about action in a violent way.
Yes, they want chaos. The situation you're talking about, Travis, would be much quicker path to what Wes is talking about.
Correct.
Right.
They want this thing to get hot.
They're promoting the race war.
Well,
you think about it. They've pushed all of the conservatives out of the military and leadership. Mm-hmm. That's the master plan, my dude. I mean, that's so freaking obvious. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but you push all of the conservative-minded people out of leadership and military. Now you've got people who are on your side and are okay with shooting American citizens if it ever came down to it.
Their plan, like I've said multiple times, is they want to knock America off the top of the hill as the shining city on top of the hill. They want to make it even with all the other countries so that that it ends up being a situation where the citizens clamor for the government help, so that we end up with a global EU-style government, mm-hmm. and you've got some faux sovereignty like they do in Europe.
Right.
You don't really have sovereignties because everything that matters is run by the EU.
Right.
So you can say you can elect your own leaders, but any commodities trading, any economic stuff is done the rules of the EU. You can't operate independently if you're a country in Europe. They want that across the world.
That person that we just heard three clips from identifies in no way with a single American ideal.
No.
She only identifies as a way to flex her power, and the way to flex her power is to drive energy costs through the roof and then push on some green energy nonsense. Right?
Well, the green energy thing is just another means to the end.
Yes.
They know it's not gonna, whether it's real or not, doesn't matter. They know them driving it is going to have the effect that they're looking for.
Correct.
So between getting Americans to hate each other over fictitious race crap, getting America to struggle financially, like we just talked about with gas prices and commodities prices, going to grocery store, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And then this part where now everyone is either at each other's throat or can't live on their own.
I'm going to read something and I'll tell you who posted this. This is from 8 years ago.
Okay.
I'll tell you who posted it after I read it. People who have run out of hope are easy to control. And whoever has the control also has all the power. Heard this in a kid's movie tonight. Free cookie, if you can name it. This statement, in its simplicity, sums up my mistrust of large government. Government dependence is the means by which those in power wish to create a particular end. Relying on one secular entity for your survival, income, and yes, health care, removes any hope and potential for real upward mobility and intellectual growth. Removal of one's hope and potential equates to the removal of that individual's power and eventually his or her freedom. And that applies to what's going on. I wrote that.
That's what I was going to guess.
I wrote that 8 years ago.
That's what I was going to guess.
But
it's pretty damn accurate.
I almost shared that again. It's in my memories on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I almost shared that again this morning, but I kind of wish it I had at this point because it's so applicable to what's going on.
Yep.
I was a lot smarter back then, drank a little bit less. But that's the goal, man. That's the end game with all of this, is to remove your own individual power.
And well, what did they say? By 20, 2050. It was originally 2030.
Yeah.
By 2050, you're not going to own anything, and you're going to be happy.
Which, by the way, there's a lot of fishing boats stuck in the Arctic Circle because it froze over early this year.
Mm. Yeah. Remember all that stuff was melting.
Yeah.
That's why they changed it from global warming to climate change, because literally a week ago today, the three of us are sitting here in shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're bundled up pretty solid right now.
Yep.
Yeah, I had to go in and put some pants on.
So, well, yeah.
And we're in Florida.
Yeah.
By the way, I was in shorts. I was not sitting out here in my drawers or with my willy flapping about.
Yeah, we would not start recording if that was the case. CNN may rehire you, but as one of the board members of Driveway Liberty podcast, I would motion to re-record it another time.
Right.
And I feel like I'd have a second.
So how much time we got, Wes?
4 minutes.
Okay. Right, so I'm going to tee this up for Travis.
You going Rosenbaum?
Oh, God.
So the Biden administration is going to be adding another vaccine mandate. So the mandate will go into effect January 22nd, and it will pertain to all essential travelers.
Essential travelers.
Essential travelers.
Truck drivers.
The mandate will apply to all essential non-resident travelers crossing U.S. land borders, including government and emergency response officials. They're requiring vaccinations for everything. So if you're crossing any U.S. border, guess who it applies to?
Truckers.
Yeah.
So, but it does not apply to illegal immigrants. So we're in the middle of a supply chain crap show.
Right.
And this is going to be a federal mandate where the truckers for the companies, he's having a hard time with the mandates going through the companies. So now he's doing the mandates. Obviously, he did
so
it for federal employees.
He's going to have border security checking vaccine cards.
Looks like it.
Fuck that dude, man.
It's I said it once. I asked this question a few podcasts ago. If you wanted to destroy America, would you do anything different?
No.
I mean, can you think of anything that can be different that could add to destroying America? Besides dropping a fucking nuke on it?
I mean, it is. If you haven't, I know you guys haven't yet. If you guys haven't watched the Glenn Beck special on COVID,
it's on my to-do list.
It's on Blaze TV. And as I told you, Dan, update your will and take your heart meds. Because I watched about 20 minutes and got up, fired up a heater outside, and had to sit down. This is about power.
Oh, absolutely.
That is it. Okay? Biden's already been struck down by two separate courts. There's an Oklahoma court that struck down that someone said, okay, well, I'm just going to sue my employer if I have a negative side effect, and the judge upheld that. Okay? So we have the sitting president of the United States for the third time, not the first, not the second, the third time, taking federal courts and saying, I don't care.
Yeah. Don't listen to me.
Like, up yours.
Yep. And the rumor, this is going to end up in front of the Supreme Court. And the rumor right now is they don't have enough votes to uphold it. So the saviors that Trump appointed, one of them's pretty good, Gorsuch. Right. The other two are fucking turds.
Correct. Mm. So
Amy Coney Barrett, who thought was going to be the greatest Supreme Court judge ever.
Now, in all honesty, I don't trust rumors about how they're going to vote.
True. But how many times has the prognosticators come out and said this, and it's been pretty fucking accurate?
How long we got left? Because I'm about to go in my pants.
It's the end of the show, man.
Okay.
I have to pee, too.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
This is our timer. It's the human timer.
I'm going to say this.
Well, mine's about 15 minutes early. I've been sitting here squirming.
I'm going to say this, and we're going to close it out because I want to get this in on this broadcast. If you support Rosenbaum and you think he's a fucking martyr, you're a fucking idiot. With that being said, guys, this has been a Driveway Liberty podcast.
Here.
For Travis and Dan, I'm Wes. We'll see you on the next one.